Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing word. Here now is Ryan Dalton, our youth leader, with today's message.
We're going to continue on this subject of deception, and today we're going to be taking it a little bit further into areas of expectation and authority when it comes to areas of deception in our heart and those areas. So really a lot to uncover today, so I want to get through it all, but what we're going to go ahead and do just to go ahead and get started is stand up for the vision, and we're going to read that together. It says, to build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I want to go ahead and read our foundational verse in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Well, Lord, we just desire to have your perspective, Lord. God, I just pray for stillness in this whole room, Lord. Every heart. God, that you would begin to touch our hearts and prepare our hearts, God, to be transformed by the word of God this morning. Thank you so much for the salvation that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for us. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us this morning to just understand exactly what it is, Lord, that you want us to walk away knowing. God, I pray that it would spring up a crop 100-fold for your glory. So God, just take out that heart of stone, put in a heart of flesh that's sensitive to your will and to your ways. And I pray, God, that you would be glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the subject of authority is definitely one that we could spend a lot of time talking about because we, in so many ways, whether we realize it or not, we struggle with authority. We just do. Just having flesh is going to make you struggle with authority because this is something that is spiritually understood and that we need to grow in our spiritual maturity in, or else we're just going to kick against it all the time, be wounded by it all the time, be offended by it all the time, and just, quite frankly, be tormented all the time. You know, it says right off the bat when we're talking in this verse in Romans that this authority has been established by God. He's the one who institutes authority. But that is a far cry from all authorities being godly. All authority is established by God, but not all authority is godly. In fact, I would wager to say that most authorities are not godly. And then some of them even feign godliness just to get some votes. You know, and we're not here to make a judgment call saying this person does this or this person does that, but the reality is that many people see authority figures in a very jaded view, whether they have a godly view of them or not, people struggle with it, and we need to get over that struggle because we want to grow. We want to come to a place of maturity where God's taking out that deception and replacing it with truth, structure, and a solid foundation for us to become the people of God who He desires us to become. You see, deception plays a big role in this subject. There are, quite frankly, just many, many people who are deceived on the subject of authority because they don't know what the Word of God says about it. And the Word of God has a lot to say about authority. And so we need to see what it says and how we can grow from that moving forward in our walk with Christ. So where I want to kind of camp out in at first is James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This verse is so foundational in our understanding of how we grow, really. Because right off the bat, we see a kind of a formula take place, if you want to look at it that way. And that's this, that if you're just a hearer of the word and not a doer, you are inviting deception into your life. Look what it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So there's something that comes with only hearing the word of God, but not following through with obedience that causes us to have deception invited into our lives. You could say it's dangerous to hear the word of God and not do anything about it. You know, we only apply positive connotation to it. We talk about the word of God and you know, hearing the word, and it is good. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We are to proclaim the word of God to everyone we encounter. But then, to the individual to whom you speak it to, it's now on them to do something about it or not. And if they don't do something about it, it invites deception. The truth is, you can sit and listen to the word of God for 40 plus years, and I mean sound biblical preaching and teaching, and still be in deception because you're not following through in obedience to what is being preached. It is not enough to just sit there and hear a message. It's not. And if you do that and have no intention whatsoever of following through with what's being said, you are actually inviting deception to take place in your heart, darkness to take place in your heart, and quite frankly, it's going to generate more ignorance and cause us to be farther from the will of God than we ever have been. It's dangerous to hear the word of God and to do nothing about it. We need to become doers of the word. It says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. We have a mirror right there. If I were to stand in front of it, I would see myself reflected as I really am right back at me. The word is being compared to as a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Someone hearing the word of God but doing nothing about it is like someone who goes up to a mirror, sees themselves reflected in it as they really are, walks away, and immediately they forget what they saw. They don't see themselves the way they saw them just a little bit ago in light of being reflected in the word of God. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see, we need to continue in the word of God. Actually, this word continue in the Greek means to stay and to abide. And what we know, what we've just seen as far as kind of a picture goes, is reading the word is a lot like looking in a mirror. And continuing in it is a lot like staying in front of that mirror and abiding in front of that mirror and really taking in what's being seen. And when we do that, we see ourselves for who we really are, reflected in God's word, and we can finally see, wow, there's some areas in there that need to be adjusted. There are some areas in there that need to be taken out. There are some areas in there, Lord, that you need to do your cleansing work, and I need to submit it to you because I didn't know it was there before. That's the thing about deception is if you're deceived, do you know that you are? You don't. That's the thing about it. If you're deceived, you don't know you are. That's part of deception. The only time that you know when you are deceived is when you come back to the word of God, you see what it says, and you don't just quickly glance at it and walk away and forget. You abide in front of it, and you allow it to soak into who you are and say, wow, Lord, like you're really showing me something, and I'm going to submit that to you and now make adjustments, following through with obedience, accordingly to what you're calling me to do. And let me tell you, that can be a painful process. You see, the thing is, every single one of us in this room has deception. Every one of us right now in this very moment are harboring beliefs that are not true. Every one of us. Now, why is that? Well, think about it this way. 5 years ago, could you say that 5 years ago to this day, you've grown at all? Have you grown at all in the last 5 years? Okay? Do you think that 5 years from now, you'll be able to look back on today and say, I've grown since then? Probably. The reason is because in that time that you're growing and getting closer to the Lord, you are trading areas of your heart that aren't submitted to him for areas that you are now going to submit to him. You are trading areas of deception and ignorance for light. You're taking things that you didn't know before or beliefs that maybe you had that you didn't realize weren't biblical, and you're now submitting them to God and saying, Lord, I'm giving these to you. Please help me to grow in that area now. If we didn't have deception, we'd be perfect. If we were fully mature and perfect and then, you know, didn't have any bad beliefs, I mean, we wouldn't have room to grow. But obviously, since we're growing still, there are areas that are being rooted out and areas that there is deception in. And the only way, the only remedy for that, the only cure for it is to stay, to abide in front of the Word of God and to get God's perspective on these things. But then, not just to get it and to hear it and walk away, but to then do something about it. To follow through in that obedience. You see, there's a big difference between when we first came to know the Lord versus when we start to become more mature in our faith. And one of the things is this, when we first come to God, when we become a believer, and we submit our lives to him, we often go through a season where we are consciously submitting areas of deception or disobedience or whatever, consciously submitting things that he brings up to us or that he makes known right then and there. I remember when I first got saved, like there was a lot of things I was like, wow, Lord, like I'm going to actually have to change in quite a few areas of my life. And not just to go through the motions, but because I all of a sudden had a new heart. I was a new creation in Christ, and I wanted to do these things. And so I consciously surrendered one by one the things that God had made plain to me right there in the beginning, things that I already knew that wouldn't coincide with the kingdom of God. But then it comes to a point where you've submitted everything that you consciously are aware of. But that doesn't mean that you have finished submitting to him. That doesn't mean that there's nothing left to submit. That only means that the things that are left to submit are probably things that you don't know are there. You see, God wants to take us through things in order for us to have those hidden places revealed. You could call it, even subconsciously speaking, there are areas that you are not submitted to him. And the only way those things are going to be revealed is by going through times of testing, maybe some trials, some hardships. The point is, those are going to come as you're following with obedience the word of God. As you follow through with obedience what God's calling you to do, he is going to have you go through some things that might be very uncomfortable. And those very uncomfortable things are going to finally reveal things that you didn't know you hadn't submitted to him. Maybe there's areas of lust that you struggle with that you didn't know you did until someone walked by. Maybe there's areas of anger that you didn't know you struggled with until someone cut you just a little too deep that time and you showed them a side that maybe you've never shown before. Areas of anxiety or depression, just anything that you can think of. There are hidden areas in our hearts that God wants to show us because he sees our heart. He sees it perfectly. He sees exactly as it is, but we don't. And he knows that the only way those things are going to be revealed is if we go through some uncomfortable times. That isn't because God likes to watch us writhe or he wants us to suffer. No, it's because he cares about us becoming mature sons and daughters of God, and he's going to allow us to go through some uncomfortable things because, well, let's face it, surgery is uncomfortable. But we have to submit to the surgeon's hand on this one. And God is going to bring clarity and light and take out that darkness and cause us to become more aware of what's really going on deeper inside. You can sit, like I said, and hear the word of God for 40 plus years and not have deception dealt with. It's not about just sitting there hearing the word. It's about taking the word that you have heard and in faith following through with what is being said, and then the testing comes. And when the testing comes, it will reveal areas you didn't know were there or areas you thought you were past. How many times have we said, like, oh yeah, that I'm totally past that. I don't have issues with that anymore. Until something happens. And then all of a sudden you're like discouraged because like, I thought I was past that. Well, did God say you were past, or did you? Are you the one who's going to structure your curriculum and say like, oh God, I don't know if you know this, but I actually don't struggle with this anymore, so you don't have to test me in that. Yeah, God is the one that is going to show you where you're, if you're ready or not to deal with that. If he says, yeah, you're past it, then you are. God's not going to lie to you. But what's very likely is we like to just move forward and say, yeah, I passed the test, I'm good. No worries, moving on. What's next, God? This is not the attitude that we want to have. Instead, we want to go to God and ask him, just like David did at the end of Psalm 139, to reveal in his heart if there's any wicked way in him so that he could be led on the path of everlasting life instead. Just say, Lord, point, just put your finger on it, any area of my heart where I'm not following you, and help me, God, to submit that to you. And he might show you things you didn't know were there. You see, the enemy, Satan, is perfectly fine with you hearing the word of God. He's perfectly fine even with you agreeing with the word of God, so long as you don't follow through with it. He is perfectly fine with you hearing the word and agreeing with the word, so long as you just don't follow through with obedience. Because that's where the real transformation is going to take place, is when you are walking out what God is calling you to walk out through the revelation of his word. Pastor Fred had talked about how testing equals pressure, and pressure is going to reveal weakness. I'm going to say that again. Testing equals pressure. Testing is going to come in the form of pressure, and that pressure is going to reveal weakness. Do we need to be afraid of that? No. Instead, we need to just know that we have some resources to back us up in that, and that is that when those weaknesses are revealed, we can go to God and ask him to form us into the person that he's calling us to be. We aren't going to be able to do this simply by hearing the word and doing nothing about it, sitting comfortably in pews and in padded chairs and just going to church Sunday to Sunday, Wednesday to Wednesday. You can go to church 4 or 5 times a week and still not have deception dealt with until you carry out and are living a life that you are walking with Christ in obedience to what he's calling you to do. Actually, if we just go a chapter, well, not even, it's actually in the same chapter, of chapter 1 of James, looking at verse 2. I want to start there. So we're just backtracking a little bit from what we read just a little bit ago. We're now in verse 2 of chapter 1, and it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." You see, right off the bat, it says we can count it all joy when we fall into trials, into testing, into hardship, into difficulties. We can count it as joy. Why? Because if that situation is submitted to God, then it will produce in us patience. And you are going to need patience to get through the calling that God has for you. Every one of us is going to need patience to get through the calling that God is going to have us go through, because a lot of what we're going to go through is going to involve some pain. And we're going to need to be able to stay in it and not run from it. Pain is not your enemy. I think we like to believe that it is. We think that being uncomfortable, getting our feathers ruffled, and experiencing pain is the enemy, and being lethargic and content and comfortable is our friend. No. Being lethargic, content, and comfortable is your enemy. Being lethargic, content, and comfortable will just cause you to sit on the couch, eat whatever you want to eat, do whatever you want to do, binge watch Netflix, and just cause you to forget about responsibility. Some of you are like, I've never done that, but yes, you have. We've all binge watched Netflix. Are you kidding me? Okay, fine. I know not everyone has, but you've done something like it, is what I'm trying to say. And if we just listen to our flesh, all we're ever going to do is under-challenge ourselves. But God, our Father, cares about our maturity. And just like any father who cares about maturity, he's going to allow his kids to go through things that are going to cause them to experience something that will cause them to have wisdom, to be prepared for what life is going to throw at them. He wants us to be prepared. So we can count it as joy when we go through those things, because if we submit it to God, he's going to do something redemptive with it. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Well, I want to make this clear that this word for perfect isn't this idea that, oh, you don't have any flaws anymore and you are pristine and nothing is wrong with you. No, but perfect in this passage is referring to maturity. Perfect maturity. You're coming to a place of maturity. Patience will have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. As it pertains to spiritual matters, God doesn't want you to lack anything. He doesn't want you to lack wisdom. He doesn't want you to be spiritually immature. He wants you to grow and lack nothing as it pertains to his kingdom and his goodness and everything he's calling you to. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is so underused. God is there watching us live our lives and is so desirous of being involved in what we're doing, and he's there to give us wisdom. And yet, how often are we actually, and I mean really, asking God for wisdom? What a lot of people mean when they say they've been praying is simply this: oh yeah, I've been thinking about it. Or yeah, I've been complaining about it. Or I've been talking about it. And then if you ask them, have you been praying? They're like, yeah. And they think of those occurrences in their mind. That is not praying. Praying is very different. And in this context, we're talking about the idea that we're going to sit and we're going to be still before God and we are going to ask him for wisdom so that we can live what he's asking us to live, how he's asking us to live. But how often are we just talking to God, talking at God, complaining about our problems, moaning about things, murmuring and complaining, and then we don't even take time to sit, be still, and listen to him. We get up, we walk away, and we act like we got a good perspective on the matter. To sit in his presence and be still. We need to abide in front of the mirror and stay in the word of God and hear what God is trying to say to us as we listen to his word, as we listen to him whisper into our heart the truth behind the matter. When you ask for wisdom, he's going to give it to you if you ask in faith. But this goes on to say that, you know, if you ask in doubting, you shouldn't expect to receive anything. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. I used to read this passage and just assume that this had to do with faith in God as it pertains to, like, faith as, do I believe God can do this or not? If I'm asking for wisdom, you know, do I believe God can do this or not, or can give me wisdom or not? But it's really not so simple. I've been reading it in light of what I've been studying, and honestly, another way that doubt can creep into your heart is if, when asking for wisdom, you're not even sure you want it. We can ask God for wisdom half-heartedly because we actually, deep down, want to keep our immature perspective and not actually seek to grow through the situation he's taking us through, and we would be more comfortable to just, you know, not do that, not go through the process. So part of the doubt that comes in isn't whether or not you think God can give you wisdom, it's whether you actually want it or not. So we have to adjust our heart in that. Because you know why? It's painful to be corrected. I have a wife. And that's probably all I have to say. I'm going to move on. I have a wife who's good at and loving at when I'm doing something I shouldn't be, or when I'm harboring attitudes that I shouldn't be, likes to remind me, pray about it. Who, when I am acting out of my flesh and out of my anger and out of whatever negative thing I'm trying to, get guidance from, she likes to say things like, you know, well, just spend time with Jesus, you know, just get with the Lord, like he's going to help you. And usually I retort with, well, I know that already. Don't act like I'm the only one either, okay? Like, I like to retort and respond with this bad attitude of like, well, you know, I know that already, you know, this and that, like, of course, I'm going to, blah, 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 and I give every excuse, but then I don't wind up doing it. Why? Because I know that deep down what she's saying is right, and deep down, if I get with the Lord and spend time with him and spend time with his people and sit under the word of God, something in my perspective, something wrong deep in my heart is going to be revealed, and then I'm going to have to be accountable to what I heard. If I just ignore the truth, I wouldn't have to be accountable to it, right? Is that how it works? I don't know. I don't think so. One thing's for sure, that the truth is coming. Reality is coming. And we need to embrace it. and we need to know what it's about, because if we don't and we just want to go away, isolate ourselves, and just kind of do our own thing and lick our wounds because we're hurt or we're offended or we're whatever, God is not going to be able to speak to you while you are running from him like that. He wants to speak to you, and he's going to try to send people your way. He's going to try to speak to you himself, but until you take the word and after hearing it, apply it to your life, no change is going to take place, and that deception will stay firmly rooted in your heart, making its home in you, and you may never realize it ever again. You'll say things like, oh, I'm past that, when you're not. We have to give this to the Lord and understand that, yeah, the testing of our faith is going to produce. And our faith needs to be tested in order to grow and in order to come into the fullness of what he has for us. So please don't get too comfortable in the padded seats, because the real test comes out there. And there's going to be tests in here too, by the way. I shouldn't act like it's not. There will be tests in here too. Because this is a relational deal, isn't it? We have a relationship with God who's calling us to have a relationship with people. People who are unsaved, who he wants us to reach out to and preach the gospel to. People who are saved, brothers and sisters in Christ, who he wants us to grow alongside. And relationships are messy. So very messy and difficult and hard. But there's nothing else that God prefers to use to grow us. This has a lot to do with the, like I said, you're like, what does this all have to do with authority and expectation? Like, I'm going to get to that. This has a lot to do with it. But believe me when I say that God wants to use the relationships in your life with those that are your peers, with those that are growing alongside you, with those who are authorities in your life. He wants to use situations surrounding them to bring more maturity and to root out more deception. God is going to call each and every one of us to things that might be something you feel is beneath you, to bring healing in areas of your heart you didn't know. Some of these things are going to be subjugating you to tests and trials that you feel like you are past, or feel like you don't have to deal with anymore, or feel like it's, again, beneath you to have to consider. But here's the thing. He's going to let you go through pain because it's going to reveal some things that you need cleansed of, some leprosy, if you will, that he wants to take out of your life so you can live, and you can live well. Poison is something that kills you, and usually it kills you slowly. And poison is something that not only does it contaminate you, it can also contaminate people around you, depending on what kind of poison we're talking about. If you find yourself in a situation where you feel like the man of God or whoever, whatever spiritual authority you have in your life isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, beware of doing the next thing that happens immediately, and that's rehearsing your wounds. Going over and over about how you think it should have been this way or that way, to the point where you're not trying to give away your rage to God. You're not going to him and saying, Lord, help me with this. You're saying, no, I'm justified in having this, and I'm going to harbor it until finally it causes you to go away in a rage. Causes you to have a poisonous attitude, not only hurting and tormenting yourself, because unforgiveness is a lot like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. How many of us need healed of deep areas of deception and sin that we've been harboring? Sometimes the word of God comes in a way that brings correction. We have to be willing to receive that correction, because God cares so much about us as sons and daughters that he's going to discipline us as sons and daughters. What father is there that doesn't discipline their children? If a father loves their children, he will discipline them because he wants them to be prepared for what's ahead.
Save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.
say.